Bless you. This is Dennis Peacock again, and I'm pleased to be sharing with you message number 8 in the series called Citizen Education 101. As we recognize Christ's call to disciple the nations, let's enjoy the material and use it to make a difference for His kingdom. For our final lesson, I hope it's been a journey that has been meaningful to you and helpful to you and even life-changing for you. And potentially life-changing for your community, your family, your church, your business, your ministry, and your nation. So we end by asking the question, how do we fix the broken system? Well, we've talked about it all along the way, and this will be a summary of that. We know that we have to know the truth, practice the truth, and spread the truth. In a very simple way, that's the way that we do it, beginning with caring for the gardens of influence that God has given to us. We live at a critical point in history where Western civilization and Western values, largely formed by Judeo-Christian truth, are at a crossroads. The United States, in some ways, is the last great bastion of a first world nation that is still heavily influenced by the church and heavily influenced by Christianity. Far more in terms of numbers attending church as a percentage of the population than any other Western nation, to my knowledge. But nevertheless, we are in a great cultural battle, cultural war, a values war, if you will, with the secular world, as well as the Islamic world, but the secular world first, as to the role of biblical truth in the public square, and the role of Judeo-Christian truth in the formation of public policy and in the shaping of culture. The secular world, driven by satanic force, although they certainly don't realize that, they think they are driven by reason, but in the spiritual side of the equation, driven by the seed of the serpent, spiritually to thwart the possibility of the kingdom of God manifesting on the earth to any degree through God's people, opposing that ignorantly, not understanding that, which Paul, of course, brilliantly discusses in both Romans and 1 Corinthians in particular, as certainly as well as in Colossians. But nevertheless, that is the battle and the situation that we find ourselves in. So let me pray. Father, we pray that as we close this series, that the basic truth that we've tried to grasp and begin to handle in our minds and in our spirits would continue to sink deep, so that we are able to actually practice and apply these principles and these truths and their derivatives, their corollaries, in our daily lives, and that we would, as we said here at the beginning, know the truth, practice the truth, and spread the truth. Grant us wisdom as we summarize this basic course where we've laid or attempted to lay the foundation out from which we disciple nations. For Christ's sake, we ask. Amen. So, we begin. And we begin by examining the broken systems, a general survey. And again, the mantra is know the truth, practice the truth, spread the truth. Western society in general, and the United States in particular, continue to be in spiritual and social decline on multiple levels. As we have noted, the family unit, the core of society, has been assaulted on multiple levels, all the way from the beginning of no-fault divorce, which hit the United States in the early 1980s. It makes you wonder what was going on, in the early 1960s, forgive me, in the latter part of the 1960s. What happened between 1968 and 1973? You see prayer removed from schools. You see no-fault divorce. You see Roe Wade and the permission of abortion. And you see a massive influx of pornography. And you see the end of the gold standard in the Bretton Woods Agreement. I cannot think of another five-year time in history where so many major concepts have been shattered and broken in such a short period of time. Think about it. The morality and the legality, the covenantal basis of the family is destroyed. Pornography is released, prayer is removed, and our currency is separated from any anchor, all within a very short period of time. Inflation, which has forced both spouses to work. We talked about that. Massive interruptions from activities of every kind. Sometimes I think the national religion of America on the weekends is sports. Families are driven into sports, burning kids out before they're even in high school. It's amazing to me as a former athlete, the incredible energy that has been put into sports in this culture. Abortion, pornography, alternative marriages, the pill, living together, all these things. And again, I could add the emergence of the pill in the early 60s to that. That was one of the biggest changes in the lists of things that have challenged the fabric of culture. Massive assaults on the church from secularism and education. Assaults in the media, assaults in entertainment. I remember the first time I heard four-letter words in a movie, and you could hear the whole audience react in shock. No more today. It's gutter language all the way through. The irrelevancy of the church as the social gatekeeper. In my early youth, the pastors and the gatekeepers, the spiritual gatekeepers, managed the culture. Psalm 87:2. Where are the elders in the gates? Who will stand up for me as God takes a stand in his own congregation? Who will deal with injustice? Church, that's our responsibility. We have failed in many, many ways. Massive debt, inflation, massive centralization of civil government. It's all taken place in my lifetime. And we had hoped that we would have slowed it down. Maybe we did, but it certainly doesn't look very slowed down right now. So we need a backfire. Massive fires are not put out with water, but with backfires set to consume burnable material in the path of the fire. You don't put out a massive forest fire with water. You put it out by burning the trees in front of it so that fire has nothing to feed on. And that is what we need, a massive backfire, a backfire of Christian worldview where we renew our minds. Romans 12:1-2, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 should be very familiar scriptures to you. We need to think and speak, but we need to speak in language that communicates with the culture. We need to learn to speak fish. We need to renew our spiritual disciplines of prayer, of spending time with God, of studying. The problem with building a worldview is it requires you to study and think and listen to other materials and read books and articles and to get actively involved in rebuilding your worldview, which virtually all of us got from our schooling and certainly reinforced by the secular culture. And obviously, in our spheres of influence, in our gardens, with our children, with our families, we need to be training them again to know the truth, practice the truth, and spread the truth. So, Roman numeral 3. Actually, I need to go back one step here. Number 3. We need to strategically energize how we tend our gardens. Of all the spiritual truth that I know, with the exception the truth of the theology of God, the cross, the blood, the resurrection, the value of Scripture, etc., tending our gardens is certainly one of the most practical truths that I know. If every believer on this planet was tending their garden for the kingdom of God, we would disciple the nations within two generations. Everybody has a ministry. The idea that you should quit your job and go into ministry is foolishness. You should be in ministry wherever you are, ministering to your spiritual garden. That is a huge truth that has to be preached from every pulpit and gone over again and again and again until all believers are aware that they have a sphere of influence and they are to be faithful in bringing the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, their Christian worldview, their influence in every way into the garden of responsibility and the relationships that God has given to us to tend. When you're tending your garden, you're in the act of discipling nations. Again, Roman numeral 3, we need to learn how to eat the elephant one bite at a time. It is a huge task, a daunting task. I believe the remainder of the 21st century, from this point in history, the 85 years between now and the 22nd century, I believe this whole century, if the Lord tarries, will be spent with the church being trained, energized, and released in practical ways to disciple nations and to assert the truth of the kingdom and the reality of the King in ways that even the unsaved will join. And to that, you need to look at Matthew 13, 47 to 50. You see in that great parable, the net cast into the masses of humanity, and you see the kingdom message gathering the saved and the unsaved in the same way that Israel was comprised of the Jews and the resident aliens. When Solomon took that census during his reign, there was something like 600,000 men, which means there was at least another million women, and not counting the children. So you're talking over 2 million resident aliens living under the benefit of the kingdom message, the kingdom laws that Israel was attempting to live under. And Jesus tells us in that great parable of the net, that as the net of the kingdom is cast into the sea of humanity, that it too will gather the saved and the unsaved living together because of the benefits of living in obedience to kingdom truth. And at the end, when the angels come, they'll sort out the saved from the unsaved. We can trust God to tell us who's saved, rather than us worrying about making the decision ourselves. The angels, the Bible says, will separate out the saved from the unsaved in the kingdom net. We need to think and speak about those holding dual citizenship and encourage all the believers that we know and influence to register to vote, to begin building a Christian worldview, to begin to master the principles that are in this lesson so that they're able to analyze biblically and intelligently what the principles of policy ought to be for their cities, who they should vote for based on the language and the thinking process of those running for office. We need to renew the base of our reasoning from Scripture. 2 Timothy tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that we are fully furnished by the truth for all that is involved in life. Number 3, we need to seek to build a biblical worldview for all issues and practice the application of the 10 master principles to our thinking and to our speaking about principle-based public policy. We need to make that a phrase that the whole culture has to deal with. We have to deal with with gay marriage, we should have to be dealing with principle-based public policy. There's multiple times more Christians in this culture in the United States than there are homosexuals. And in their influence and their strategy, they've controlled our language. We should be able to control the language, especially since we greatly outnumber the secularists in that dimension, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit behind us. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with this picture? Well, that's what we're trying to get right with this picture. In our conversations, we must season our speech with limited insight. We want to season our speech with salt. We want to speak in the language there, as we see in Colossians 4:6, and avoid making statements about issues we really don't know that much about. One of the ways to really get in trouble is to start getting into a conversation with somebody saved or unsaved that knows a lot more about the issues than you do. So you need to begin to find and ask God, what are the issues that He wants you to become very well versed in? What is going to be your sweet spot of conversation where you're comfortable eventually having a conversation with almost anybody around those topics? But that requires study. It requires time. It requires energy to choose an issue of importance that you believe God really has put on your heart. And we're back again to Ephesians 3:1. Who has captured you and what issues have captured you? And how are you going to develop an expertise in those issues so that you become persuasive? You become prophetic. You become somebody who the Holy Spirit can speak to and through in those areas because you've sown into it. You've sown good seed. You're going to reap good fruit. We must free ourselves from politically correct speech. Politically correct speech is the inquisition of free speech. We need to be able to speak freely, honestly, with respect. But politically correct speech is narrowing the intelligence, diminishing the social intelligence of our culture. We need to be bold. Many of those who oppose us are bold. We need to be bold as lions, as the scripture says. We need to be honest, and we need to add love and compassion to our speech. Strident speech, hard-edged speech, is only useful in very specific situations. Our speech should convey the love of God for people. Only on rare occasions did you see Jesus speaking harshly. Now, when he did, he did. He wasn't playing games when he said to the priests and the religious community that they were like a group of vipers. They were like snakes. They were like skeletal bones. They were hypocrites. But that was very, very carefully chosen when he spoke that way. We must, again, point B, renew our spiritual disciplines by studying the scripture, looking for the principles that we're discussing right here, and practice the principles that we see in the scriptures. We need to view the process and the progress that we're making in all areas of life as in God's control and usually proceeding at one bite at a time. Isaiah 28:10 says that truth and change come here a little, there a little. We need to love the process and the progress that we're making. We can't make the mistake of trying to make huge leaps in a single bound. On occasion, God will do that. The question is, can God change a nation in a day? Yes, he can. God can do anything. But usually it's line on line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little, as Isaiah 28:10 reminds us. Our prayer life must begin to carry the weight of what we seek to accomplish. Praying for great length is not the issue. It's praying in the Spirit that is the issue. It's praying out of our hearts that is the issue. It's praying the Word of God. We should be praying the Scripture and affirming the Scripture in our prayers. And we must remember that for us, for disciples of Christ, every day must become training day. Every day is a day of opportunity to know the truth, practice the truth, and share the truth. God is working on me every single day to bring Christ be more fully formed in me and in you. We need to know what God is doing in us and with us so that we can work with Him. We can work with the Holy Spirit. And as we said a few moments ago, we need to be training in the areas where God wants to give us expertise and a ministry of influence, where we become prophetically people that are change agents, and we're bringing transformation because we put in the time and the prayer and the study to bring transformation. And as we've said before, we need to come back to the issue of, am I tending my garden? How am I leavening my influence with what God is teaching me? What are the phrases? What's the language that God wants me to use? Am I studying the response of people when I say certain things? What things turn them on? What things turn them off? We need to experiment. We need to get bold and let the Holy Spirit show us how to use different levels of argument, different word structures, how to tell stories that illustrate what it is we're trying to say, and then bring those things into our garden. We need to recognize that people, both naturally and spiritually, are attracted or repelled by certain messages. We need to discern that. And in our garden, obviously, we need to recognize who has captured us. Ephesians 3:1. We need to recognize the basic issues of public life. We need to read the newspapers. We need to listen to the news, watch the news. We need to study social media. We need to be informed. And don't necessarily try and make yourself informed about everything, but be certainly careful to be informed about the things and the issues that God has put onto your heart. Whether it's human trafficking, whether it's economic change, whether it's taxation policy, whether it's immigration, whatever it is. Whether it's dealing with orphans, whether it's dealing with widows, whether it's dealing with racism or classism or whatever. Whatever your issues are, you're going to be investing time and again injecting those issues, watching for the effect they have on people as you hone your skills of becoming a wise soul winner and a wise worldview teller. You need to continue to build your bridges of trust in every dimension of your life, because your capacity to say really powerful things is enhanced going across a bridge of trust. Who have you singled out to be particularly kind to so that at some point you can speak Scripture to them? You can share your faith. You can demonstrate your faith, as St. Francis says, and use words if necessary. Let the actions speak, and then let the words follow. Principle-based public policy. These 8 lessons have been designed to serve you and equip you to have a measure of foundational basic insight into the causes, that is, the roots, and not just the symptoms of things going on around you and in you. So many people are ignorantly focused, including the news media. They are focusing on symptoms, not causes. And I'm sure you've noticed that bad news sells and good news doesn't sell very well. We need to change that. We Christians need to capture our share of the social media. We need to be telling the stories of where people are making a real difference in the lives of other people, and where the church in particular and the private sector in particular is doing jobs that the government is trying to do, but not doing well or efficiently. We need to tell the story of inefficiency and efficiency, of love, of what we say in the street parlance, of jobs and Jesus, which universally are the two things that get people out of gangs and get people into transformation. Upward economic mobility. Those two things, we've heard this from unsaved mayors and governors all over this country. Well, the only thing that really seems to work is jobs and Jesus. And we've seen it, and we need to tell those kinds of stories. By this knowledge, we need to be equipped to help others see what you see, and working together to expand God's kingdom on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. The problem is not in heaven. Heaven doesn't need you and I. When we go is when we go. But they don't need us there. They need us here. And I'm so excited. In my lifetime, I've had the privilege of seeing the message of the kingdom, the message of fivefold authority coming out of Ephesians 4, the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the pastors, the evangelists, whatever order you want to put that in, to see the emergence of those gifts, to see the emergence of the gifts of the Holy Spirit touching millions and millions of lives around the world, to see thousands and thousands of churches planted in my lifetime. Powerful churches, apostolic churches, and the message of the kingdom slowly begin to emerge so that now in my day, millions of people around the world are beginning to talk about the kingdom of God. And hundreds of thousands are beginning to talk about discipling nations. And it's almost a sequence that when the Holy Spirit becomes who he must be in our lives, we begin to recognize the gifts of Christ in the church. And we recognize the gifts, the apostles and the prophets begin to emerge. And they begin to want to live and act strategically. And they begin to discover the kingdom of God. And as the kingdom of God is discovered and sought, the next thing in the sequence of dominoes is the theology of discipling nations. And that is where we are today. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what are the next steps? Well, you can review these lessons again and again. You can read books, you can listen to CDs, you can watch DVDs. You can consider, and I would urge you to seriously consider, going through this lesson, studying this material enough that you can begin to become trained to become a course facilitator. We want to see the 8 lessons taught in tens of thousands of churches around the world. We want to see these 8 lessons taught at lunchtime in the marketplace. We want to see these lessons taught in home groups and in Sunday school. We want to see these lessons taught and discussed in podcasts and on the social media. We want to see these words provoke and challenge people to get engaged in their gardens and let the kingdom of God come to them and through them and begin to actually affect communities and affect the arts and affect the media and affect education and begin to move out, and as it moves out, bring life and energy and empowerment to people. Consider how prepared God wants you to become to really bring change to your sphere of influence, your garden. What is your ministry? What have we talked about in these 8 lessons that speaks to your ministry that God has put into your heart, that he wants to make you an expert, where you're able to deal with almost anybody at any level on some passion, something of the kingdom that you care about enough to have really invested to recruit, to know, to practice, and to share. This is an introductory course. I know there's these major concepts. You've got the 10, you've got spiritual principles, you have material here that remind you of that, that summarize these truths, spiritual truths and principles. I would urge you to put them in your Bible, photocopy them and put them in your Bible on single sheets. Mark where you're reading in Scripture with these sheets, with these principles. Do a Deuteronomy 6. Find a way to get these principles surrounding you and your children and those you influence in art, in media, in education, in language, and certainly in our prayers. Well, let me pray with you. It's been my privilege. I wish I could have seen every one of you face to face and personally gone through this material. Now, I couldn't have done it that way because those that know me recognize I can never follow notes when I'm with people because I'm reading their faces and their responses. That's why the only way I can do series teachings like this is before the Lord and with no one present but the Holy Spirit and you, and that's enough. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for the work that people have gone through to go through this series. And we pray that the Holy Spirit has spoken to them and trapped them by certain truths that have become very clear to them that you really want to explore these truths in depth within them and their ministries. And these truths will release things that will change communities and will change lives and ultimately will change nations. O God, arise and let your enemies be scattered. O God, assume your position as the rightful king of the nations. We know that you are legally, we know that you are lawfully, but O Lord, stretch out your scepter, Psalm 110. And touch the nations. Make Psalm 2 a reality to the people who have shared this material. Let them be buried in Psalm 2 as it prophetically speaks to us here in the 21st century. Let the great commission of going out and making disciples of men and women and children and bringing a Christian worldview to them, changing their minds as they experience salvation and spiritually begin to grow, let the mind of Christ fill them with truths that will measure how the earth should be managed by the one who rules it, the Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen our prayer lives and the effects that we have through prayer. Build city action councils in the cities of the world, Lord. Bring principle-based economics, principle-based political decision-making, principle-based foreign policy, and all the disciplines, Lord, of managing nations. Change educational systems. Change support systems. O Lord, be magnified, we pray. For Jesus' sake, Father, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. It's been wonderful to be with you. Amen.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international non-profit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.